There's a quote I love that says, "For everything, there is a season, and a time for every matter under heaven." Now, some of you are familiar with these words, and some of you may be familiar with the words that follow after. A time to be born, time to die, time to plant, and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill, and a time to heal, a time to break down, and a time to build up, a time to weep, and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance, and the list goes on and on and on. And the author of the book of Ecclesiastes is highlighting this thing that we call seasons, that we all navigate while we're here physically on this earth. There have been seasons where you have navigated them, and those have been planting seasons. Some of you literally, some of you metaphorically. And there's been seasons where you have worked hard, you've done your due diligence, you've been disciplined, you grinded to get to the next step, and then the next season you have experienced is a season of harvest, where you have reaped the rewards of your labor. So we all navigate these different seasons. And most of the seasons that happen, we have very little to almost no control over in terms of their length or when they appear in our lives. Some of you may be in a season of productivity and growth. You're killing it. You're doing awesome. You're being disciplined. You're just doing everything that you should, and everything is going smooth. You're getting more opportunities. Everything you touch turns to gold. You may be in a season like that. You may be in a season of confusion and curiosity. You may be in a season where you don't know what the next step is, where you don't know what's right or where you should go, if you should turn left or you should turn right. You're receiving different signals from the universe or people, or it maybe seems like God is telling you two very different things. You may be in a season of pain and suffering. It took everything in you today just to get here and to be brave enough to sit and listen and get out of your house. Things may not be going well for you. Everything that you touch doesn't turn to gold. Everything you touch turns to dust. Everything you try to grab for a sense of security always moves one or two steps away from you when you finally reach out. You may be in a season that you're not even going to be able to name yet for another 2 or 3 years. You don't know what it is. You don't know what's going on. You can't name it. It's awkward. But there's different seasons that we experience in this life, right? And each one of those seasons, we try to navigate them as best as we can. There's seasons that are unforeseen, right? We don't expect a loved one to pass away. We don't expect to suddenly lose our job. We don't expect things to go left when everything is pointing to them going right. But the other reality is that there are seasons that are foreseen, seasons that are predictable, seasons that we can't control, but we know they're coming around the corner, right? For instance, there are generally in the Midwest, there are generally 4 seasons that we experience in some degree and length, right? Now, in the Midwest, we also have the additional seasons of fake spring, false winter, third winter, almost summer, right? We experience those where it gets, oh, it's 70 degrees, great, it's spring, cool, time to pack away all my winter clothes, and it's like that for 6 days. But those of us that have been here long enough know you need to keep your winter clothes out because it's going to be 30 degrees in just 2 more days. Like it or not, prepared for it or not, this is the holiday season, right? So there is the season of Thanksgiving, there is the season of Christmas, which just, pro tip, it's 4 weeks away, okay? And if you are cooking turkey, now may be a good time to take it out of your freezer if it is in your freezer, okay? You know that these are approaching, whether you like it or not, whether you're looking forward to it or not, whether you are anticipating it being good or bad, you know that these seasons are coming, right? They are on the calendar. No matter what you do, no matter what you don't do, these are coming. Some of you feel very joyful about it. Some of you have dread about it. Some of you have anxiety. Some of you, this is the first season for you that you're celebrating without somebody that you used to celebrate for, right? There's going to be an empty chair that you wish was full. And all of these rise to the surface. So we know that these seasons are coming. So, I mean, if we're doing well, we try to prepare for them as best as we can, right? So for, you know, Thanksgiving, we may put something in our grocery order because we know we're making a side dish. Or we may ask for a day off. Or we may have a travel schedule. Or we may make our homes, you know, do the deep cleaning that nobody ever wants to do, you know. The trim on the floor, this is the time of year that it gets clean because people are coming over. Maybe it's getting gifts. Maybe you, with the people that you love, are making like very strategic early exit plans. Like, hey, listen, if I look at you and I make this sound, that means we need to go, okay? Some of you are already planning, like, where can I sit strategically, where I'm not around people, and I feel safe, right? But you prepare for it as best as you can, right? If the seasons you know are coming, you prepare for them as best as you can. For instance, some of you in Litchfield, you may see this everywhere. Why? Why do you see this? Well, number one, seasonally, the leaves are coming off the trees, right? But leaf pickup is this coming week in Litchfield. So, also, if you didn't know that, that's okay, okay? But now that you know that, you would try to prepare as best as you can, right? So for the past 2 weeks, whenever we've had the opportunity, we've tried to take advantage of that and to get all of our leaves from our three trees. It used to be four, but one had to go, okay? From our four trees, and we get them to the curb. Why? We do that because I know it's coming, and I try to be prepared so that I don't have a blanket of leaves over my entire yard until we feel motivated enough to do something about it in the spring, okay? And if you're prepared and you take action, you generally have better results, right? So if I know I'm going to a Thanksgiving dinner and I know I'm in charge of making a side dish, if I do the work to have all those ingredients with me and prepare it, dinner's going to go well, right? If I don't prepare and on the way, which I'm already running late to, which just happens, I decide to try to pop into a store to get the ingredients to make the side dish at a house where I have no idea what they have in terms of kitchen supplies or utensils, right? May not go that well, right? Silly example, but we've all been there or we've all seen somebody there and we felt their anxiety through them, right? Okay. There's this study done by Harvard Business School about communication. And what they discovered was, and by the way, the waiting list for this class is just like years long to even get into it. So what they've said and what they've discovered is that when you have to have difficult conversations, a little bit of preparation produces better results. They've even broke it down to say, listen, even if this conversation is just thrust into your schedule and you know you need to communicate with somebody about something difficult, even if you spend just 30 seconds mentally preparing for that, the results are exponentially better than if you done no preparation whatsoever. So why are we talking about this? Why is John giving a TED talk about preparation and holidays? Why are we doing this? We're doing this because next weekend starts Advent. And that is the time as the church, more than just like Beacon Church, the church cosmically, okay, starts to prepare themselves to focus on the birth of Christ. And there are these foundational things that we focus on during the season. So we focus on the love and the joy and the peace and the hope that are foundational pillars of the season. So how can we prepare ourselves to not just get through this season, to not just survive this season, to not just say, listen, we do this every single year. It's Advent. John lights the candles. There's this thing and this wreath, and we know what's going to happen, and we're getting excited. How can we best prepare ourselves for this season? Because just like the other examples before, right, the better we prepare ourselves, generally the better results we will get, right? So how can we do that? I mean, like, we all experience at least one Christmas in our life here, looking at the demographic, and I'm looking out, right? You all, to some degree, understand that Jesus is a part of this Christmas holiday, especially if you're here in church, right? But how do you make it to where it's not like the 35th Christmas that you've done? And you understand it, and it's the same side dishes, the same people, that same person's going to drink too much, and then they're going to have the same conversations, we're going to go to the same place, and it just repeats over and over and over again. Or maybe you're in a place where like, hey, this is happening, I hate this, I hate every single year of this, I don't want to do this again. So when we approach this Advent season celebrating what we, during this time of year, we celebrate the birth of Christ, how can we make it to where we are best prepared for what God desires for us? So I've thought of four things, okay? Normal list have three. I decided since it's the holiday season, we all want a little extra, so why not add four, okay? How do you become prepared? Well, the first thing I think we need to do to prepare ourselves for the season is to have a humble posture. And the difficult part about this is that we need to choose to do this rather than having to be humbled at some point in our life, right? Have any of you ever experienced being humbled? Good or bad ways? Nobody, except for me, because everybody, okay. Just two, like three people now out of guilt are like, well, yeah, I have, but, okay. How did that feel? Probably not the best, right? You felt silly. If you're anything like me, then you start asking like 15 million other questions. Why did I do this? Why didn't I just say this? Man, I know better. Come on. I shouldn't have tried to lift that now. You know what I mean? You need to have a humble posture. Because the reality is, like, even if this is like your 55th Christmas, God still wants to do something miraculous in your heart and in your life. God is not done working through you. God is not done working in you. He still has things that he's calling you to do. And he would much rather work with a person that's already metaphorically in their heart and in their mind and in their spirit in a very humble posture, a posture that is willing to receive rather than having to get to a point where he has to work beside you or outside of you. When I think of this, I think of the story of David. And I think of how many seasons did David have where he was looked down upon or completely looked over by his family? How many seasons did he experience simply being the person that took care of the sheep and the livestock? While every one of his other siblings was in line to try to become royalty or something better. But when I look at the story of David, I can't help but think he had a humble posture. Because even though he was looked down and looked over, when it came time for Israel to have a human king, who was the first choice? David. He lined up all of his other brothers who were older, taller, better looking, some of them arguably probably even more qualified for this position. But because of David's posture, because of David when he was in those seasons, cultivating something with God, even though he's looked down and looked over, he said, you know what? I'm going to choose to try to cultivate a relationship with God. So when it came time, when the doors finally opened, there was no hesitation. There was no debate. This is my guy. David got to that position because of his humble posture. Now, ironically, David didn't stay in that posture. But when he started, he did. I wonder what God can do through you in a humble posture instead of in spite of you because of your pride. The other thing that we need to have to become prepared for the season is we need to have a soft heart. I cannot help but think of the words of Ezekiel, I'm going to turn your heart of stone into a heart of flesh, Ezekiel chapter 36. There are things in this life that we have experienced that harden our hearts, correct? There are things in our life that we experience professionally and personally that make us not be able to respond the way that we should. It's called burnout in a lot of ways. And when that happens, we see everything as an interruption instead of an invitation. This wasn't in my notes, but I'm thinking of one client we've interacted with multiple times. The client would call and say, hey, I'm ready to go to treatment. We would respond, great, we're happy to help. Where can we pick you up? I'll be here. Okay. We go there and guess what? Person's not there. They're not ready. But that's okay. Because everyone on my staff, including myself, understand what it's like to say you're ready, but not, internally not be ready, right? And those of you, even though it may not be a substance, you understand that in different ways in your life. Okay? Hey, where you at? Oh, yeah, I'm just not there. Like, hey, we totally understand. Second time, hey, this time I'm really ready. Will you pick me up? Absolutely. Where are you going to be? Go look for them, and guess what? They're not there. We start banging on every single door in that hotel complex. I see one of my other friends. I ask this other friend to say, hey, do you know where this person is? Well, I can tell you where they're not. About a month later, guess who calls again? Hey, I'm ready to go. I really need to go. Really, 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 really need to go. We're here for you. But now you're going to have to come to my front door. I'm not going to chase you anymore. Right? There's an opportunity there for my heart to be hardened. You don't say what you mean. We've been through this before. It's going to be exactly the same. You've experienced that with another person, right? Tired of what they're saying. Same story. And your heart gets hard. It's a protective mechanism, right? You're not doing anything wrong. It just happens over time. Somebody steals from you 45 times, you're probably going to lock your door the 46th time, right? Does it mean you don't love them? No, it just means I got to protect myself at some point. But if we're not careful, we're going to miss things because of that. If we're not careful as an organization, I would have said, hey, sorry, three strikes, you're out. We're never going to answer your phone call again. But what if she really was ready the next time? You have to have a soft heart. Some of you, in the best way possible, okay? This is like the Hallmark version. Some of you have been through enough Christmases that you can set it on autopilot and you know exactly what it's going to be like. The problem with that is you have set your level of expectations so much that maybe you're not aware of what God's really trying to do, right? Maybe it's different. Maybe there's something you're missing. Maybe there's something that's not there. In the worst way possible, you don't like certain things or certain people, and you don't have a soft heart anymore for what God is trying to do. You have the pain. You suffer loss. You don't like Christmas. It's a bunch of BS. Joy, love, hope, peace, those are nice words, but I've never seen those in my life. So guess what? I'm not into it. I'm going to go through the motions, but my heart and my mind, they are somewhere else. And I couldn't help but think of the story of Joseph. Betrayed and literally sold by his family members. Sold into slavery. Spent decades of his life doing that. But even in the midst of that, his heart remained soft. Would you be angry at God if your family sold you and tried to murder you and betrayed you? If you're human and you have breath in your lungs, the answer is yes, you would. Would you be a little bit upset with God? God, why did this happen? Would you ask a few questions when you're in the prison cell? I probably would. But you know what happens? His heart remained soft. When everything else was taken away from him and Potiphar's wife came and said, I can give you the world, he responded by running away. He had integrity. He had character. He had honor. He had confidence. He had all of these things because even though he didn't like being in that season, his heart remained soft. It remained soft so he can continue to hear and listen what God designed and desired him to do. And when the moment came and the door opened, even though he was in a difficult season, what happened to him? I need somebody that can interpret dreams. And somebody said, hey, I know a guy I was in prison with. He was formed by God in that season because he had a soft heart. He didn't let it turn to stone. He didn't respond with just being cynical towards everything. Third thing is a curious mind. How curious are you if you've done something 76 times? Curiosity starts to wane a little bit, doesn't it? You've been through it so long. You've been through it enough. You've heard the same story, the same songs, the same lights, the same patterns. Jesus comes to earth, great, hallelujah, praise God. Are you curious of what God wants to reveal to you this year? I mean, I love little kids when they see the presents that are wrapped because they're just so curious of what it is, right? What is it? I don't know. And they shake the box. Some of you are pros and you put things in the box that make it sound like something else that it's not good for you. It reminded me of a tradition we have during Christmas, or we had growing up during Christmas. We could institute it now, but, you know, it's just different now. My grandmother was from Breslau, Germany, which after World War II became part of Poland, okay? So she would always tell these stories. We'd have Christmas Eve over to her house, and she'd break out the crystal, and it was great because we get that carbonated grape juice, and we're kings of the world at that point, right? Okay, this is the best thing ever. But because my grandma was German, they had a tradition that you could always open one gift on Christmas Eve. So my brother and I would strategically look under the tree because we had a Nintendo. And what we would try to do is try to pick the right box, the shape, the weight, so that we can ensure that on Christmas Eve, we could spend all night playing Nintendo, okay? But guess what? I had smart parents. Either they didn't put it out until Christmas Day, or they put it in different boxes that made it seem like nothing was there. But I was curious. I looked under the tree. Ooh, I wonder what this is. Ooh, I wonder what this is. Ooh, this feels like it might be something. I was curious, right? How many of you are curious during this Advent season to say, God, I cannot wait to see what you're going to reveal to me about joy, peace, love, and hope? In this story, I thought of Moses, because Moses navigated a season as a shepherd, right? Was Moses born a shepherd? No. He is basically kind of like a prince, right? He was adopted into the royal family. He understood what it meant to live with power and opulence and just to walk around and be able to do whatever you want. So he went from that to now he's walking with sheep in the desert. And how curious do you think he was? Do you think most people would see that as an upgrade or a downgrade? He downsized a little bit, didn't he? Okay. But I think Moses remained curious. I think in those moments and in that season, he remained absolutely curious, because why else would he respond to a burning bush and say, I wonder what that is? I'm really just curious. He didn't see it as an interruption. He didn't see it as something you're like, hey, man, this is too weird. I don't want to be involved with this. He wasn't cynical. He didn't have a posture of I'm too big for this. He didn't think it was something or he couldn't handle or something that he needed to stay away from. He responded with curiosity to say, I see something that is abnormal, and I want to discover what that is. I've walked this trail 100 times, and I saw that, and now I'm just curious. Fourth thing you need is this. You need willing hands. Spirit fingers, okay? You are designed to return in some capacity what you have freely received. We are designed to not just be participants, right? We are designed to be creators and builders of this kingdom of God. And in that one, I couldn't help but think of the person of Nehemiah. Nehemiah was a cupbearer to a king, the Persian king. It was a position of total trust and respect. Literally, the line between death and life for the king in that capacity. Everybody know what a cupbearer did? Okay. For those of you that don't know, anything that was offered to the king to drink, there was a person called the cupbearer that would drink it first, okay? If he didn't die, it's safe to drink. If he did die, probably shouldn't drink that, okay? But you gotta trust this person, right? You gotta trust that he's not gonna do a fake drink, like, oh, here you go. Was Nehemiah, what ethnicity was he? Was he Roman? Jewish, yes, okay, good. Man, you guys are on it, okay? A Jewish cupbearer to a Persian king. Tell me what that season feels like. Tell me what it feels like when you've been passed up for your promotion that you know is rightfully yours, and the person they put in the place, you're like, who is this guy? What is this? I'm the best person. Tell me the season, what it feels like when you're just riddled with anxiety and you feel absolutely trapped. You can't win, you can't lose, and you're just stuck. Nehemiah continually chose to be the cupbearer to the king. Does that mean he was a sellout? Does that mean he was betraying his people? That meant he had willing hands. He had willing hands even though he didn't have full understanding. God, I don't know why you made me, a Jewish person, the cupbearer to a Persian king. It makes absolutely no sense. But guess what? I'm going to keep a humble posture. I'm going to have a soft heart because maybe you're doing something here that I have no idea what it is. I'm going to have a curious mind. I'm going to keep asking questions. I'm going to have willing hands. I'm going to keep showing up and I'm going to keep doing stuff. That's what I'm committed to doing. And what did he have with the king? He had unprecedented access, right? And when the timing was right, he would ask questions to say, here, king, I just have a question about this temple over here from my people. I wonder if you would let me go rebuild it. Didn't answer for a long period of time. Gained the trust. Had willing hands. Not only was he willing to be a placeholder in the kingdom to get the king's favor of Persia, he was the first person that was chosen to be able to go and rebuild the temple of Jerusalem. Brick by brick. And he did it with internal and external opposition. You know what he said? I'm here for it. I'm here for it. Whatever you're calling me to do, I'm going to just quote the words of Isaiah. I'm going to say, here I am, send me. Hey, I really need a person that can subversively work in this environment. I'm your guy. I need a person that understands strategy and has access to all of these different resources that can help rebuild the kingdom. Here I am. I'm here for it. Okay? There is something that God is wanting to do inside of you this Advent season. And through that, after it has taken root, after it has grown, after you have nurtured it, after God and the Spirit have done all of that, it is meant to go from in here to out here. You need to pass it along. One of the favorite things of my week are my Tuesday night meetings. Okay, I'm involved with the 12-step NA program, okay? I love my Tuesday night meetings, can never tell you who's there, never going to tell you who's there, okay? But guess what happens there? I'm around a community of individuals that struggle in the same capacity that I do, right? And you know what that has helped me to do? Because I'm willing to get outside of myself, I'm willing to go to a new physical place, it has helped me grow so much as a person. There are so many beautiful parallels between Scripture and the 12 steps, and it's just an amazing incubator that happens. And do you know who benefits from that besides myself? The people around me that I can not only share my struggle, but I can share what has become a source of strength. That my ability to discover and look inside of all this messy emotional stuff and wrestle with it, with a clean mind and a clean heart, beautiful things come out on the other side. So how can you be prepared in this season? It's 4 weeks long. It's not that long. We really don't want to mess up our whole schedule for just 4 weeks of this stuff, right? But I don't know. When Christ came to earth, a lot of stuff changed, right? Yes. Yeah. Good. Thumbs up. Okay. Good job. What could God do through you this season if you had a humble posture? If you didn't think you knew all the answers, if it wasn't like everything before, if you put yourself in a position where you literally said, God, teach me and show me what you want to happen in my life. Get me out of the way. By the way, humility always comes before honor. That's a proverb, it's not from me. What would happen in this holiday season to you or the people around you if you had a soft heart? If you weren't crunchy all the time? If you allow God to say, hey, God, I know I got some black spots. I know I've got some parts that are stone, and maybe it's not even your fault. Maybe you're just a passenger in this process, and you've hated everything that has happened. But what if you said, I want my heart to be able to be molded and shaped and grown by you and your spirit? Do you think God could do something through you? You think God can work through you in that capacity, a humble person with a soft heart? What if you had a curious mind? What if you said, yeah, I know all the Christmas stories. No, Jesus really wasn't born in the barn. I get that. You know, last year we looked through the architecture of the house he was probably born in. Okay. What if you're just curious? Say, God, I know what it feels like. I know it's the same thing, but man, I am just curious. Help me to zoom out to see what you're really doing here. What if you had willing hands? What could you build relationally? What could you help do physically in your community or just to be willing to be a builder of the kingdom of God? I think we have the Advent logo, don't we? I did a bad job on mine. Yeah, see? Because our world is a little bit weary right now, isn't it? I don't know about you, but I'm wary. There's a whole lot of stuff I don't have answers to. There's a whole lot of stuff I see where I'm like, dude, I don't like the way this is going. Do you think God wants to help the people who are wary? Yeah, he does. He cares, right? And not only does he care about the people who are wary, he comes alongside of people who are weary, and sometimes he does that through people like you and me. He does that through people that have a humble posture. It's not about my name, it's about his name and his kingdom, right? People with a soft heart that says, yeah, I've been through a lot, and I know how this is going to go, but man, I'm willing, I'm down, let's do it. A curious mind. Sorry, this just came up. Okay. How many of you have ever interacted with somebody who was difficult? Okay. By the way, if you looked in the mirror this morning, you did. Okay. Because all of us are difficult in our own ways, right? I hate to break it to you. Okay. I was reading this, listening to this book, because I did audiobooks for like 5 minutes. That's all I can do. And he says there's four things. Of how you can interact with difficult people, okay? Number one is you can avoid them. I am an expert at that in different ways, okay? I will give a TED Talk, separate TED Talk, about how to avoid difficult people, okay? Number two, you can try to change them, okay? My success rate on trying to change other people is still zero, okay? Number three, you can cancel them, okay? Both internally and externally, right? I want nothing to do with you. And then you take their name and you say, no, thank you. By the way, let me, you spill the tea for everybody so everybody knows who this person is and isn't, right? Okay. And the fourth one is you can try to understand them. Now, out of those four, which one is the best? Understand them, right? How can you try to understand if you're not curious? You can't. It's impossible to do. How can you understand what God is doing in your heart or in somebody else's life if you are absolutely not curious? It may look different, but you got to remain curious. Sometimes it's going to be really odd. It's going to look like this burning bush, and everything inside of you is going to be like, I don't want to even get close to that. I don't know what that is. No, thank you. I've got my own stuff. I've got my sheep. I've got my route. I'm going to go back home. This is stable, and there's this burning bush. You got to remain curious, okay? And you have to keep your hands willing, right? So those are the four things. That's how you be prepared for this Advent season. I was going to do 1 Corinthians, and then this came to my mind. Listen, the world is wary. It needs somebody that is willing to be humble to say, it is not about me or my kingdom. I need somebody with a soft heart in my life to be able to deal with my junk, right? I need somebody who's curious about me if I'm weary. Hey, tell me what's going on. Well, you know, no, I get it. But listen, I'm here for it, okay? Can I tell you one of the most powerful examples I've shared recently? I shared this a few months ago, but it's so powerful. In the same 12-step meeting, there was an individual who self-harmed, okay? And this is odd, but because it seems like this is a 12-step program for substances, right? And you know what the most beautiful part was? The most beautiful part was when that person was brave enough to say, hey, I know this is a 12-step program, but I've got 5 days of no self-harm. Everybody around that table clapped. Everyone around that table just said, congratulations, man. That's awesome. And he says, can I get a key tag? Because I don't have my key tags with me, but in NA, we got these little key tags that celebrate periods of sobriety, right? Absolutely. Person handed them a key tag, just absolutely embraced. And he just broke down in tears. It was one of the most beautiful things in the world that I've seen recently, okay? Somebody was curious enough, and here's the end part. At the end of that, it was this beautiful moment. At the end of that, a person said, hey, listen, I don't understand that. I don't understand what it's like to self-harm. I don't understand what's going on internally with that. I've never done that. But he said, I don't understand you, but I'm here for you. Here's my number. You can call me anytime, and I may not understand it, but I will always listen to you. That's what a curious mind looks like. Spiritually, may not understand it, have no idea what's going on. Maybe that's nothing I've experienced before, but I need to stay curious, right? And willing hands. We all need help, right? Can't help but think of the Good Samaritan. How many people rode by with the capability but weren't willing to use their hands? There's people we encounter every single day that are weary, that just need somebody. Just, you know, psychologically, if you just tap somebody on the shoulder and you say their name, do you know what that does to their self-confidence internally and like all the chemicals in their brains? Hey, Joe, I'm proud of you. A little tap on the shoulder. Okay? You can use hand sanitizer afterwards. Doesn't matter. Okay? It changes things. Okay. So now we're going to move into prayers because we can't just do this. Okay? Because now I need to give you action points. Okay? Action points are where it's at. So I'm going to give you prayers of preparedness, okay? You may not like these. That's okay. I'm gonna say it, then I want you to say it, okay? Even if you whisper it, so nobody else really knows you're participating because you're too cool to participate. It's fine. Okay. We'll go one by one down the list. Everybody ready for it? Okay. So the first one, humble me so I may be lifted up. Your turn.
Humble me so I may be lifted up.
Good. Number two, soften my heart so I can respond to you.
Soften my heart so I can respond to you.
Number three, renew my mind so I can walk in my calling. Four, make my hands willing so I can build your kingdom. Okay. If you want to get closer to making this a reality and you have the capability, write this down. Write those down. If you don't have anything to write it down, take a picture of it, okay, so it can remind you. God wants to do amazing things in this Advent season for you, with you, and through you. But you've got to put yourself in the position in this season. We need to be humble. We need to have a soft heart. We need to have a mind that is curious and able to be renewed. And we need to have hands that are willing. With those things, I guarantee you that this holiday season will be different than you've ever experienced before. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your love that was shown ultimately through your Son, Jesus. We are thankful, Father, through his birth that we are going to celebrate here starting next week, for the way that he lived his life, through his crucifixion, through his resurrection, ascension, and enthronement, that what you have designed and what you desire for our lives can be seen and walked into. Father, no matter what season we find ourselves here this morning, whether it's a season of productivity and growth, whether it's a season of pain and suffering, whether it's a season of curiosity where we're just questioning so many things, or whether it's a season that we haven't even been able to name yet, Father, I pray that you would meet us here. Father, help us as we navigate these spaces, help us as we navigate these seasons to remain in a place where we can be molded, shaped, motivated, and we can move in response to what you are doing. Father, help us to look at the examples of the people we've named, whether it's David or Nehemiah or Moses. Father, help us to move in that capacity so that what you desire to do in our lives and through this church, this Advent season, can become a reality. Help us, Father, to take the next step today. And we ask this all in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. I'm going to leave this slide up, and I'm going to ask that before we enter into a time of communion, that you simply just focus on one or all of those, okay? So after that, we're going to enter to a time of communion, and after that, we are going to enter to a time of worship through song. I just want to highlight one thing. That for those of you that have not been here before, or for those of you that we haven't talked about this in a long time, I was just reminded because Shane talked about it this morning. We do worship at the end of our service as a response to what God has done and what we have heard. Okay, worship in its most simplest term is responding to God, and we choose to do that through song. So what we do, we have curated the service to look like, hey, we're going to sing songs to make sure we know why we're here. We're going to listen to his word. We're going to partake in the Lord's Supper, and then we are going to respond to that. That's why it's kind of this hourglass figure, okay? Why? Because we always want to respond to what we have heard and how good and great and amazing God is. So, we're going to have communion. The kids are going to be released upstairs. We're going to have worship through song, and we get to experience something beautiful today through a baptism as well, okay? So, you guys are just getting ready for the second half of what God's going to do here today, all right? This time is yours.